What's up, guys? It's me, Justin, back with another episode of the show. I hope you guys have been doing well. I know it's an interesting time for everybody. Hope you guys have been safe. I've been safe. This week has been going well for me. I don't know if y'all can tell that I'm in a good mood. It's just a lot to be thankful for. I'm thankful to be alive. I'm thankful for a new week, a new episode, a new guest. We'll introduce her in a second. But before we get started, if you guys are new to the show or you've been listening but for some reason you're not subscribed, make sure to subscribe. Make sure to share the podcast with a friend. If you're listening on Spotify, hit the following button. Yeah, I really appreciate all of you guys for listening to the show, sharing the show, following on the podcast page, which is linked in the description. It means a lot to me. So continue sharing and all that good stuff. But yeah, it's a new week, a new guest. So this week I'm joined with my friend Amanda this week. So we're here to discuss a variety of topics. And this is actually Amanda's first time on the show. Hi, Amanda.
Hey, Justin, what's up?
I'm good. Yeah, Amanda is like an OG listener of the show. So she's literally a fan turned friend turned first time guest. And I'm excited to have you on the show. Are you excited to be on the show for the first time?
I am so freaking excited.
Good. I'm happy to have you on here.
Yeah, because I've literally been listening since, what, last July? Mm-hmm. So it'll almost be a year. So I am a savior.
Thank you. No, thank you for joining me this week. I feel like you'll bring some interesting takes to this episode. So Let's get it.
Justin's got a gift. It's off his chest. You know he's got a gift. It's off his chest. Justin's got to get some fucking shit off his chest.
All right, so off my chest this week, I saw this Kroger commercial that popped up on my YouTube as an ad. And basically the commercial was thanking, you know, all the workers that stock, all the workers that check out at all the Krogers, and they were thanking them for going beyond what their job description entails.
To our Kroger associates, for the long hours and late nights, for the miles traveled and the shelves restocked, for making a difference in our customers' lives, for doing so much more than your job, everyone at the Kroger family of brands and our customers say thank you. In a time when daily life feels a bit uncertain, your hard work is keeping America fed. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
And I thought this was interesting because there's all this sympathy toward, you know, workers and all these people that have to work during this epidemic. And it's annoying to me because it's kind of like a hypocrisy in a way, because these people work hard. They don't get paid that much and people don't really see them as essential. And some people even look down on these people. But now that we're in an epidemic, people want to, you know, feel grateful for the people that do everyday jobs for them. Some people even want to call them heroes. And I've even heard like there's a lot of people that work for grocery stores that don't want to be referred to as a hero because day in and day out, you don't care about them. But now during this epidemic, oh, thank you for your service. Thank you. Thank you. Do you feel that as a double standard? Like, what is your opinion on the whole, you know, workers thing?
I don't think it's a double standard per se. If anything, I think it feels pretty nice. Just being a nurse and like working in the hospital, especially with all of this current stuff going on, mm-hmm. It feels good for people to actually, you know, recognize like what I'm doing. Because before, like, I'd have family members come and they just kind of, you know, be like, whatever. But, you know, with all this going on, you know, people are a lot more appreciative. So I don't think it's a bad thing per se. It's pretty good to get the recognition that we deserve. However, I will say mm-hmm. we do need hazard pay because I'm not getting paid hazard pay. That would be pretty nice. I've seen a couple of things in the news and on Twitter, of course. I've mm-hmm. seen how I think the Democrats are trying to pass like a bill where they give each, I guess, essential worker like $25,000. However, I don't think, okay, or I don't even know.
What Twitter are you looking at? Because I've never seen that.
Well, it's like, it's not even in the, that, no, this is like, it's not even like something that they're actually going to do, but I've heard like it just be passed on like as an idea. Mm-hmm. So I don't think they're actually going to do it, but if they were going to do it, like how exactly would they be able to afford that?
Right.
So I don't know.
Yeah, that's a pipe dream to me. I don't think that's going to happen anytime soon or even at all. Yeah.
I wish. Well, I mean, shit. loan forgiveness, hazard pay.
Everything. Honestly, give these workers what they're anything, owed.
Something, please. Like, I was going to go to Vegas in June, but I had to cancel it. So if you give me a big fat check, that will help me. Please.
Right. That'll help. Mm-hmm. But another, like, that was the thing I had to get off my chest. Did you have anything to get off your chest this week?
No.
Okay. And that's okay. Sometimes you don't have anything to get off your chest, and that's completely fine. So let me see. Let's get into In the News. So this week, In the News, Lisa Ray, who is an actress, she went on this, like, live, like, web show. And one of the things that she said had people, like, going off. So what she had to say, I'll actually play a clip.
The Kardashians have single-handedly changed the woman's body shape that's acceptable now. Now, it's a small waist. All this ass would look like the ankles can't even hold up all of that. You know what I mean?
That's a fool.
Yes.
So as y'all saw, what she had to say is basically that the Kardashians changed the idea of what's acceptable for the shape of a woman's body and a woman's butt. And some people agreed with her, some people disagreed. Amanda, I'm interested to know your take. Did the Kardashians popularize, like, big butts in the media as that being acceptable?
I will say for white people, yeah, because it's always been a thing in the black community. Like, mm-hmm. I remember back in the day, people would be like, oh my gosh, does my butt look too big? And, like, in a bad way. But now it's like, you know, people look at that as a good thing. So I think in terms of, like white people, like the general population, sure, mm-hmm. I guess. But in terms of, like, black people, no, because it's always been a thing. And it sucks, too, because, like, you know, whenever you see about people who get plastic surgery and they're trying to make their butt look bigger, mm-hmm. they'll be like, oh, well, she's trying to be like this and so version of Kim K or whatever.
Right.
And it's like, no, so, Kim K copied you.
Which is a black woman.
Exactly.
So my thing is that I actually agree with this, that the Kardashians popularized, like, having a big butt and that's being seen as desirable and beautiful. But black women have always had that. That's, like, a natural thing to black women. So an issue that people have with the Kardashians that they take things that are attributed to other groups, they put it on themselves and act like they're the ones that, mm-hmm. you know, created it when in...
If anything, I think the better word is commercialized. I think they commercialized it. Yeah, for sure.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, Amanda, with the vocab.
I think they definitely commercialized it for sure because, like I said, it wasn't popular back then, at least amongst, like, the general population. And now that, like, I think it really became popular, I want to say probably, like, 2014, 2015, around that time.
I think even before then.
Yeah, even before then. But, like, I just remember that specific time for sure. Like, that's when it really got big. And it sucks how, like, they're the face of it, even though, like, looking at, like, that entire family, you can tell none of
that
them.
That they've had some work done.
Yeah, obviously all of them. Like, is it Khloe Kardashian, the one that looks like a foot? Oop, did I say that out loud?
Uh-oh.
Oh my god. like
and
yeah, like her. Like, I remember when she tried passing off, like, her butt as, like, something that she worked hard for in the gym. And I mean, maybe she did work hard for part of it, but mm-hmm. you can't lie to someone who's seen the truth. Like, I know the truth.
So your issue with plastic surgery is when people lie and say that they haven't had any work done?
No, not necessarily.
But what is your issue with plastic surgery? Let me ask you. I'm not playing games this episode. I'm asking you direct questions.
I've never had a problem with plastic surgery. No, I don't have a problem with plastic surgery at all. Like, at all. I think the main thing is that just don't try to pass on something that you've obviously had worked on as your own, because it's not your own, and it's okay.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I said. You don't like when people pretend like they haven't had work done, and they pretend that just working out is how they got a big butt when that's not true, or yeah. just working out is how they got a flat tummy when that's not true.
Yeah, I guess. Yeah.
But I believe you. I believe you in the media. Remember the early 2000s? All of those movies, like, even Mean Girls. I remember, I think there might have been a line where Regina was like, oh, Gretchen, does this make my butt look big?
Yeah, exactly. And then, like, you know, like, back was, then, if you had, like, a big butt, people looked at you as this, as a disgusting...
Disgusting.
A disgusting monster. But now it's like people look at you as a goddess. So times
right.
have changed.
It's funny. It's funny how the times change. Because I remember that was the big thing. All those Hollywood girls were starving. comparing themselves, and being skinny and being super thin was the big thing that was in. So
crazy.
But yeah, let's get into our main topic. We're starting early. This main topic, Amanda, I've been wanting to have this episode for a while, but with a biracial person. But since I wasn't able to get a biracial person.
I'm the next best thing.
You're the next best thing. By the way, Amanda, if you can't tell by the picture on this episode, she is Black.
I'm Nigerian, to be specific.
Yes.
But yes, I'm not mixed. I am Black. Nigerian. Right.
The reason I chose Amanda for this episode is because even though Amanda and I are similar, we're also different. So what I like to do on this episode is combine, you know, different perspectives. At the end of the day, sometimes we may agree, but the point is to bring in different perspectives to give their takes on issues such as these. So, you know, Amanda, this week we're going to be discussing, like, biraciality, you know, in the media. We're going to be talking about the show Black AF that premiered on Netflix, last week. And there's a lot to say. So the reason why I decided to do this episode is because there's one day me and Amanda were just talking about issues that, you know, occur within the world. And one of the issues that we were discussing was about how dark skinned people are kind of not being represented in the media and are then being, you know, replaced by light skinned people. And we talked about, is that dangerous? Is it true that that's happening? So Amanda, what is your take on that whole, you know, discussion of, you know, the disappearance of dark skin representation?
Yeah, no, it's most definitely real in the media for sure. Especially with the people, because so obviously, you know, on TV, Black people, we don't really have that many roles to begin with. And the roles that we do have, a lot of times, either they're played by, you know, biracial actors and actresses, or, you know, people who don't have our typical phenotype. And I know a lot of times people say, you know, Blackness comes in all skin colors and all that.
Yeah, which
stuff,
is true.
Which is true. But at the same time, you have to realize, you know, with colorism and everything, and just in general, like seeing like actual dark skinned people like on TV, that's something that we don't really get to see a lot. And if we do see it, a lot of times it's shown in a bad light. You know, for example, Tyler Perry and everything that he shows. I don't watch his stuff anymore, but just seeing what he puts on, you know, on TV, you know, a lot of times he's showcasing dark-skinned women, you know, as like the struggle person, you know, oh, I have to be with this man, and it doesn't matter if he has 10,000 children and no job and he lives in a hot dog and
So your issue is that with dark-skinned representation, the stereotype is what's being portrayed rather than the full embodiment of what a Black person can be beyond what the stereotypes show. But Amanda, my question to you is that isn't any Black win a win for all Black people?
No, so, it's not.
Okay, explain your position, because I think that any type of Black representation is a win for all Black people, regardless of whether it's light skin or dark skin. No, explain your position.
No, because like I said before, you know, there isn't that much dark skin representation on TV. So whenever we do get dark skin representation, you know, sometimes it's good, sometimes it's bad. But just because something might, just because you have representation on TV, if it's not good, then it's not good. It's poor quality. Like, who wants to represent represented by like that? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I don't like the stereotypes. Obviously, nobody wants to see a certain group of people stereotyped and not portrayed beyond stereotypes. But with this whole, you know, light skin, dark skin discussion, what was basically the catalyst of this episode was the show Black AF that premiered on Netflix a couple days ago.
So I'm making this documentary about my family, and they kind of stick out.
Just keep this long and loose. I want you to catch everything.
There's a lot of us,
and these are our parents.
Let's go. It's just a diaper, Mommy.
You're such a bad mom. Whatever question you ask, the answer is because of slavery. It's my North Star. The chains, the cars.
I begged him not to get it. Begged him.
She said she begged me?
Now, I swear to God, if you don't buy this shit, I will go f*** somebody with this exact same car.
That's how I felt. When you were mixed mother, you were constantly tested on your Blackness. Name the Fab Five, name the Jackson Five, name all the members of the Wayans family. Do you know? No.
Mom, come on. You're the whitest person I know.
Hey!
So basically, the show is created by a man named Kenya Barris, who is also the creator and writer of the TV show Blackish on ABC. If y'all also watch the show Mixed-ish on ABC, he is the writer and creator of that show. And also another show, Grown-ish, that is on Freeform. He is also the creator, and I think he's also the writer on that show as well. So what we see with these shows is that there's constantly light-skinned people fully represented and never any dark skins. And people, you know, criticize him for that. And I think that sometimes they are justified to do that. With the show Blackish, I love the show Blackish. When I watched that show, I thought it was funny. I still think it's funny.
Yeah, Blackish was good, but it was literally Blackish. Because, like, half of the... So, let's see. You have the mother. Mm-hmm. She was mixed.
Played
the
by father, Tracee Ellis Ross.
Yes. The father, he was fully Black. I believe Yashahidi, she's mixed. Mm-hmm. And then, like, the middle brother, he's also mixed. And then the youngest brother, he's also mixed. And so the only fully Black people, like, on the show is Diane, the youngest daughter, mm-hmm. The father. I think that's it, mm-hmm. right?
Well, yeah. I try to look at the nuance for everything, because not everything is what it seems. So I took a deep dive at the deeper picture of all of the shows that he's created. And basically, he has 6 children. His wife, I'm talking about Kenya Barris, the creator of all these shows. Mm-hmm. His wife is biracial. And since she's biracial, like, all of the kids are light-skinned. So he kind of, like, loosely adapts his shows based on his own experience with marrying a light-skinned woman and having light-skinned children. So that's why some of these, you know, things that we see in the shows that he does is the way that they are.
But that still doesn't make sense, though, because my thing is, like, because I'm not someone who goes by the one drop rule. Mm-hmm. So it's like, if you're going to be making shows like that and then be basing it off of, like, your family, like, then that's fine. But I don't think you should name it, you know, Black-ish or Black AF. Mm-hmm. You know, I feel like you should just either you name it something tailored to, you know, your family being mixed, or just, you know.
Okay. Yeah, because that is kind of confusing. If you have a show called Black-ish or Black AF, people are going to be tuning in thinking that it's going to be a show painting a full picture of, you know, Black people. But I think that that's also a dangerous thing, because what is the full picture of Black people? Not every Black experience is the same. My experience is different from yours. Yeah. Mine is also different from an African American. So there is not one Black experience. So how can he do that? How can he accomplish that task if that's not even really possible to fully portray everybody that's Black?
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's my question.
I just don't think he should have named it Black AF. Like, just looking at, like, the cast, I don't think he should have named it that. And that's one thing that a lot of people were talking about on Twitter. Mm-hmm. Just seeing what people were talking about, a lot of people were just talking about how, you know, like, how can you have an entire show, like, you know, mm-hmm. and I didn't get to see the entire cast, but I'm assuming, like, what most of the cast is.
For Black AF?
Yeah,
for his new show on Netflix, Black AF, everybody is light-skinned except for his daughter, his, like, middle daughter. She's like,
why does he love doing that?
I don't know.
Where everyone's light-skinned and then just one person is, like,
I don't know.
Dark-skinned.
But my thing is that if he's basing it on his experience, then I don't think people should be all up in arms about it, because that is his experience, and isn't he entitled to create whatever art that he wants to make?
Yeah, he's entitled to experience his experience, but at the same time, you have to be, like, correct. Like I said, if the title was, like, something else, I don't think as many people would be mad about it. Mm-hmm. It's just more so the fact that he named it Black AF, and, like, just about all of the actors and actresses are on mixed. The show are mixed.
Well, some people say it's even deceitful for him to name it Black AF, because he wants Black people to tune in, but it's not really a show that caters to the stuff that they can relate to. Because think about it. Why would a white person name their show White-ish or White AF? Obviously, mm-hmm. if you name your show something like that, it's not for its intended audience, which is white people, you know? Because white people already know what it's like to be white. They don't need to tune into a show called White-ish or White AF, because they are already white. So that's why I think that this show might even be for people who are not white to have a gaze into, like, one segment of a Black experience, you know?
Mm-hmm. I think he's just trying to garnish a whole bunch of views. Because if you haven't noticed, it seems like from, like, just the premise of this show, it's exactly the same as Black-ish mm-hmm. and what, Mixed-ish. And how is actually how is Mixed-ish doing? Because I've never watched that show either. I don't hear anyone talk about it, so I really don't know.
Okay,
so,
like, I watched the first episode of Mixed. It just wasn't for me. I think that what they're doing is probably important for a lot of biracial people out there, because I don't think there's ever been a show specifically touching on what it's like to be biracial when your mom is black and your dad is white. What struggles do you go through? Are you white? Are you black? Are you both? Do you pick and choose which one you want at any time or whatever is convenient for you? What is the biracial experience? So I think the show is important, but I think that the show Black-ish is basically Mixed-ish, you know? It's basically Mixed-ish, so...
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons why I actually stopped watching the show, too. Because I was really into it, and then one day I realized, I was like, what's the point of me even watching this? I feel like all of the shows are the same, so I haven't watched it in a really long time, but just hearing about, like, Black AF, it just caught my attention, and I was like, okay, this guy is most definitely just copying, pasting, like, he's, like, so lazy with his work, and I hate to say that, but that's what it seems like if all of the shows are about the same, you know?
Right, I mean, you have a point with what you're saying, but I don't think I'm in a position to criticize somebody for the art that they're making. He's entitled to make whatever art he is making, but my thing is that if you've already made a show called Black-ish, and Black AF is a mockumentary version of your popular ABC shows, what is the point of making it? Is it to have a Black-ish for Netflix? Like, what are you trying to achieve if you've already told, you know, basically the same stories? Because
money.
About black people having money. Because what Black-ish?
No, he wants money.
Okay.
If someone is copying and pasting a show that they've done three or four times, this guy does not care at all. He just wants money, and he just wants our money. And unfortunately, but, you know, people are still tuning in. They're still watching. And like you mentioned before, like, just because we have content out there for us, like, representing us as black people, doesn't mean that all of the content will be good or that it is for us.
Okay.
At the end of the day.
I mean, that's a good point right there. Because there's this whole discussion about black people making art. People kind of hold it to a high standard, but I don't think that's fair. Because white people are able to be mediocre and succeed. So why can't black people be mediocre? That's why I say, isn't any black win a win for all black people? Because why should everything that we do be excellent when everything non-white or non-black, you know, directors or writers do is not the best of the best? So why are we held to two different standards? Because think about it. Tyler Perry's stuff is not for me. I don't really enjoy his stuff. I've seen some of his stuff. I've enjoyed some of his stuff. But overall, I'm not really a fan of the Medeas and all of that kind of stuff. But there is an audience for that. It might not be, you know, 100 on Rotten Tomatoes, but the audience loves it, and they keep... You know, that wasn't to be shady. I'm just telling the truth. It might not be rated high on Rotten Tomatoes, but the core audience of Tyler Perry, they keep supporting him and they keep, you know, watching his stuff. So as long as they keep supporting him, he's going to continue to make it regardless of the quality.
Well, the quality is trash. Like I said, it paints a bad picture. It paints a bad picture of black women for sure, and the stereotypes that it enforces and everything. So to be creating bad content just because, you know, a black person is behind it, that's not fair. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, I mean, what am I trying to say? I don't know. Like, I understand why people would say that, you know, we shouldn't hold black people to a higher standard. But at the same time, if they're going to be putting out content that has to do with my representation as a black woman for sure, I'd like for it to be at least positive in some sense. Because even though white people, like, they have their mediocre, you know, media content and everything, at the end of the day, whenever it comes to their representation, like, they make sure that their representation looks good. Like, even if they have, like, a couple of, like, characters here and there who, you know, don't really, like, you know, show white people in a positive light. At the end of the day, their representation still looks good. So for black people to just be messing up the little chances that we have, like, I would
have to disagree. I don't think that black people are messing up the representation that they have. If you want to find good black content, you can find it. You can search it out. There's Moonlight. There's Barry Jenkins. There's that movie If Beale Street Could Talk. There's so many, you know, great, you know, pieces of art that black people make. And, you know, it's out there for you to consume. So I don't think it's fair to hold people that don't make the best quality of stuff to a higher standard. If they don't want to make good quality stuff, they don't have to. But you're saying that it's dangerous to continue to make stereotypes of Black people?
Yeah, it is, because people are tuning into it and they're watching it and then they're internalizing it. And just like how, you know, like those two teens that made that one TikTok video, mm-hmm. you know, like how they had stuff to say about Black people. I mean, I'm not saying like, you know, we're responsible for how they feel and mm-hmm. stuff, but I feel like we shouldn't have that type of like representation like in the media like that. And then not have anything else to combat it. I think that's like
my Well, there thing. Is stuff to combat it, though. You know, some people choose to ignore that stuff and only base things on stereotypes. Because, you know, artists creating good work or work that you consider good is not going to eradicate stereotypes. Those stereotypes are still going to exist regardless of the 100 shows on, you know, that get rated high on Rotten Tomatoes, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so let's move into this next argument about, you know, biraciality and biracial people, you know, accepting and, you know, being in roles that are assigned for like Black people. Do you think that's problematic? Like, is that fair? Like, because in this country we consider anybody that is any one part job. Black to be Black, like the mm-hmm. one drop rule is what we call it. So if you're mixed, if you're white and you're Black, people consider you Black regardless of how you look.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think the one drop rule should be a thing?
No, I don't think the one drop rule should be a thing, just because like I said, it just goes back to like dark skin, like erasure. And whenever we choose to have, you know, biracials like in the roles that are meant for Black people, a lot of times, you know, white media looks at that and says, hey, you know, since y'all say that mixed people are Black as well, we're gonna use this as a representation. And that's how we end up, you know, erasing like actual monoracial Black skin people in the media.
So basically they're not, so if they're not Black, then
no. Justin, don't do this.
I'm not trying to do anything. I'm just trying to get a fuller picture of your opinion. You're saying if they shouldn't take up roles that are assigned for Black people, you don't consider them Black then.
They're Black and white.
They're Black and white.
Whatever they're mixed with. See, and yeah, I personally think, you know, if you're mixed, I feel like you should identify as both, because that truly is what you are. You're half white, half Black, or whatever your mixture is. I think to just erase one part of someone's mixture just so you can say, oh, this person is that, I think that ends up hurting not only the person that you're telling to do that, mm-hmm. but it also hurts like the community, both the communities.
That's interesting. Interesting, because that might also add to the confusion of how biracial people feel, because a lot of mm-hmm. people feel like they have to choose one. Usually people choose the one that they look like or the one that they identify mm-hmm. with.
And whenever you go into that, that's even more confusing too, because you have some mixed people like Yara Shahidi. Mm-hmm. I mean, she's Black and Iranian, I believe.
Right.
So she's, I mean, obviously she's still half white, but I would probably argue that she looks more on the Blacker side per se, mm-hmm. versus someone like Logic, who is still half Black, half white,
but he looks white.
Yeah, he's like white passing. Mm-hmm. So if people were to like choose Blackness based off of that, I think a lot more people would be confused, because, you know, to some people, and even Halle Berry, like, I didn't know she was mixed.
Me too. I didn't know Halle Berry was mixed until like 3-4 years ago. I thought she was like a light-skinned Black woman.
Yeah, it wasn't. Yeah, I didn't know. Yeah. So for people to just base Blackness off of like how they look, it would just be confusing for everyone else.
Yeah, that's interesting. But also, like with Rashida Jones is an actress. She is the daughter of the musician Quincy Jones. And mm-hmm. She played the Black mother on the show Black? Yeah, Black AF. And a lot of people were criticized.
Black mother?
Yeah, wait, she is Black, right? I mean, biracial. Whatever. She played the biracial mother on the show Black AF. And a lot of people on Twitter were criticizing her, saying that she's not really, you know, Black, that a Black woman should play that. But my thing is that people don't look at the full situation before they start going on their Twitter rants. Like, the reason why he casted her is because it's loosely based on his own life. Kenya Barris, the creator of the show, is married to a mixed woman. So that's why a mixed woman is who he cast in that role.
But if that's the case, then why call it Black AF?
Okay, maybe you
Why not just call it AF?
Maybe you have a point. I think the show is mistitled because I did give the show a watch. I think it's irresponsible for me to come over here and discredit or, you know, talk bad about a show that I haven't even watched. I watched two episodes of that show and it wasn't good. It wasn't good.
Oh my God.
It wasn't good. And I'm
it
not,
wasn't good?
I'm not saying that. What was it that. About? Okay, it's basically Black AF is about a affluent black family and them like living their life in Hollywood and them trying to kind of adjust as being a new money family in 2020. The dad, it's a weird show actually. I don't know.
Why were all of the episode names like about slavery? Because I saw that.
Yeah, too. So the episode titles are basically, episode one is called This Is Because of Slavery. Episode two is called This Too Is Also About Slavery. Basically, that's what all the episodes are called.
Yeah, and I thought that was a joke when I first saw that. No joke.
It's real. There was a point in the first episode where the daughter is interviewing the father. Because basically, the premise of the show is it's in a mockumentary style because the daughter is trying to get into a prestigious film school. So as part of her, you know, documentation and her video for her application, she is filming a video showcasing her life as part of the project. So they have their little talking head confessionals, all of the families do, or all of the family members do, just talking about their point of view on certain issues. So there was a point where she asked her dad a question and his response was like, oh, it's because of slavery. And then he goes, oh, I don't care anything that you ask me, the answer is because of slavery. So it's kind of like playing on that whole back and forth that they had on that episode. But I don't know. It's just, the show is not very good. And I'm not one to shy away from being critical of black art because I feel like me being critical will push the art forward. Because one episode in particular, I think that if you're not a fan of the show or if you don't think you will like the show, at least watch episode 5. And the show is not like linear, so you can watch the episodes out of order and nothing will change. Episode 5 basically is about us critiquing black art and is that harmful? So basically, they watch a movie, and this movie is by a black writer and director. And after they saw the movie, the daughter and the husband or the dad, they were looking at each other in the movies, and they're like, "What was that? That was trash." But meanwhile, everybody else in the theater was clapping. They're like, "Woo! That was amazing! Oh, that was amazing! I loved it! I loved it! I loved it!" And then basically, the daughter and the dad was like, what do these people see in that movie that we didn't see? So basically, he goes around the people in the episode asking them what they think of random movies. And, you know, you kind of like get this whole argument about, is it okay to criticize black art? Because is that going to be harmful to the overall people that are trying to step into the realm of creativity and entertainment?
I don't think it's necessarily harmful to have criticism, though. I think having constructive criticism is good, but if you're just going to be just saying a whole bunch of rude stuff, then that's just a different story. But I think refraining from, like, not giving constructive criticism is just going to end up making our content, like, in the media a lot worse in the future. Because if no one's giving you any feedback, then everything that you produce is just going to be terrible. Nobody's going to watch it. It's not going to last in the long run. It's not going to get ratings like you want it to. Right. So I think every creator, including black creators, should be more open to criticism. Just to make their content better in general.
Yeah, there was... You're right. I actually agree with you. There was even a point in the episode where Kenya Barris, he's playing himself. So Kenya Barris is a producer and a writer of a television show. So he pitched a show to his writer's room. His writer's room had, I think, 2 black people and 3 white people. And he asked, what did you think of the movie? And they were like, yeah. It was good. And you can tell that that wasn't truly their real opinion. So then he goes, okay, cut the BS. What was your opinion? And then they said, okay, it wasn't good. And then he was like, okay, why didn't you tell me that the first time? And then he's like, well, because of our current environment, because of Time Is Up and Me Too, everybody's walking on eggshells. Nobody can truly say how they feel for fear of being canceled or being called a racist or whatever.
Yeah.
But the episode, that if episode 5 was like the whole series, I feel like he would have something on his hands, but that wasn't what the show was. It's just sad because when you see something with potential, you hope that, you know, it meets your expectations. And this show didn't. It was actually a disappointment, in my opinion. It was like a retry. Go ahead.
So how do you feel about the show? Do you think that he should have titled the show that? It's so...
No. I think that... The original title of the show was Black Excellence, and then they changed it to hashtag Black AF.
Mm-hmm. And I can't even imagine how... Or what the outrage... Or, yeah, how, what the outrage would have been if he had just kept it at Black Excellence. Because...
Well, it would be correct in a way, because that's one segment of Black Excellence. You have a successful dad, TV producer who's rich, a lawyer that's the mom, and, you know, kids that are, you know, college bound or whatever. I mean, it is, in a sense, a form of, you know, Black Excellence. It doesn't encompass all of our Black experiences, but I feel like it'd be a better title than Black AF.
I guess you're right.
Yeah, I don't know. Because I think that with representation, people always cry for representation. Whether it's dark-skinned people wanting more dark skins, whether it's, you know, gay people wanting more gay representation. What is too far when it comes to representation? Or is wanting more dark-skinned representation too much? Because isn't people say, okay, you wanted a black character? Here's your black character. She might be light-skinned, but she's black. Is she not? And what do you have to say to people that say that? Because... people say, okay, now y'all are wanting too much. Is there such thing as too much representation or too much, you know, wanting it your way?
No, I don't think there's such thing as wanting too much representation, because at the end of the day, those people exist. Do they not? I think they deserve to see themselves on TV as well. So to tell them and say, oh, you want more than one dark-skinned person on this TV show, you're asking for too much. I don't think that's fair, because, you know, growing up, or just watching TV in general, like, we always see white people, like, there's tens of thousands of white people, like, every day that I see, mm-hmm. and no one's ever saying anything about them having too much representation. So I don't think it's too much to be asking for more representation, mm-hmm. just, well, especially if you don't see yourself on TV.
I agree with that. Everybody deserves to be seen. That's why whenever a movie that has a diverse cast gets made, everybody's happy. With Black Panther, we saw a full black cast for one of the first times, and everybody wore their dashikis, everybody wore their African clothes to the premiere. People loved it. When Crazy Rich Asians came out, all the Asians, like, basically Crazy Rich Asians was the Asians' Black Panther. Like, they loved it. They were so happy to see a full cast of, you know, Asian people fully represented, and it makes people happy. But my thing is that when it comes to, like, actors and wanting representation with the roles that they're able to get, I feel like that's going too far in a way. Because you've seen, like, the reports of gay actors saying it's not fair when straight people play gay characters. But I'm like, isn't that the point of acting? You know, the point of acting is not to put people that are exactly, you know, a fit for the role into the role, if that makes sense. Like, straight people...
So would you allow a white person to play a black person?
That's different. That doesn't happen. That doesn't happen,
though. How exactly are they different, then?
It is different, because you can't see gay, you know? You can't see gay. Whenever a straight person is playing a gay character, that is part of acting, you know? They should be able to play gay characters. I think maybe the argument is that they want to be able to play gay roles, but I think that defeats the purpose of acting. You know what I mean? Like, when mm-hmm. also whenever they say a disabled person should play a disabled person, that I think a person that's not disabled should be able to play a character that is disabled.
Yeah, but I just think that if you have an actor or actress that is actually disabled, like if they're actually in a wheelchair, you know, if they're actually gay and they're able to, you know, do that part pretty well, I don't see why you shouldn't give that role to that person instead, you know, instead of having someone pretend to be something that they're not. And I understand, you know, acting, you know, is a thing, mm-hmm. and, you know, when you're in a role, you're supposed to act. Right. But I think a lot of times, if you have someone who actually has that specific thing that you're looking for, it makes the acting role a little bit better.
Yeah, I think that when it comes to colorism, that point is exactly right, because they had Zoe Saldana playing Nina Simone, who is a dark-skinned mm-hmm. woman. They even put a prosthetic nose on Zoe Saldana so she can
fully... Yeah, they made her darken her skin and everything, and it's like they could have just gotten an actual dark-skinned actress who looks like Nina Simone.
Yes.
Like, they could have done that instead.
That's when it goes wrong, in my opinion. Yes, mm-hmm. somebody that's not dark-skinned can play a dark-skinned role, but that's stupid. That's like going above and beyond to not cast somebody that is dark-skinned. And that's where the problem stems from, in my opinion. But I don't know. I think that even with the music industry, there's all these light skins that are fully, you know, successful. And a lot of dark skinned people, I would say it's more for women than it is for men. Mm-hmm. They aren't achieving levels of success as their light skinned counterparts. Do you agree or disagree with that?
No, I definitely agree for sure. And I mean, I know a lot of people are thinking, you know, talent has a lot to do with it. And it's true. Mm-hmm. But there's some artists that like I see and I hear.
You better drop their names.
Okay, let's see. So, like Tierra Whack, for example, I know a lot more people know about her now, but like back then, before she was on the Freshman XL list, mm-hmm. you know, her music's pretty good, and a lot of people don't talk about her and stuff. And it, you know, obviously being a female rapper, that's one thing, mm-hmm. you know.
But there's plenty of female rappers that are successful. And all of the ones that are super successful happen to
they're
be light-skinned.
They're all light-skinned.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at Nicki Minaj. Look at Cardi B. Look at Doja Cat. All of them are light-skinned. Mm-hmm. What dark-skinned rapper has achieved the level of success that they have? I'll wait.
Yeah, even dark-skinned rappers who at one point were kind of big, you know, a lot of them have died down. Like Asian Doll, for example, Cash Doll, who's another dark-skinned rapper.
They weren't even
rapper.
That big to me. To me, you're not even big until you achieve crossover success. When did they ever achieve?
I think that they were on the road to become pretty successful, like Cash Doll especially. Like, I think at one point, like, her name was kind of big, and now she's just kind of, like, you know, sitting, like, in the limelight. And you have all these other rappers, these new rappers who haven't even been in the game as long, and they're passing her up and everything.
Well, I think that you haven't made it until I can go in the middle of the street and ask you, do you know who so-and-so is? And if the person more times than not says no, you haven't made it. Like, if I went to the street now and asked people, do you know who Cardi B is? Do you know who Nicki Minaj is? Do you know who Doja Cat is? More times than not, they will say yes. If I went on the street and asked, do you know who Cash Doll is? Do you know who Asian Doll is? Do you know who this is? They'd be like, who's that? Nobody knows who those people are. That's why I don't think that even though you in your eyes they've achieved success, in my eyes they haven't, because their songs haven't played on the radio.
Like, well, not so much success, I'm just naming people.
Yeah Let me get off my tirade. But those people are not like that successful to me. But why is it that these light skin artists are more successful than their dark skin counterparts? Why is that?
Well, a lot of times it has to do with, like, the labels. You know, a lot of times labels, they want people who are lighter skinned because, you know, they have that look mm-hmm. that everyone
that's
can,
more
I guess, relate to.
Palatable to international audiences.
Yeah. Yeah, Cardi B, for example. So whenever Cardi B first started blowing up, you know, obviously black people were, in, like, you know, were on her and everything. And then I noticed, like, as time went by, you know, white people and, like, you know, other races of people, they were also starting to get into her as well. And that's something that you usually don't see with a lot of artists. A lot of times artists, either they're, like, white people popular or, like, they're, like, black people popular and stuff. But Cardi B, like, she became popular around, like, a lot of people. And I think that's the reason why she's so successful, because so many groups of people can relate to her versus other artists. I guess Megan Thee Stallion would be a good example. Like, she's popular, but I would think of her more so as, like, black people popular.
Yeah, there's a difference, because there's people that I consider, like, popular, and popular is, like, people that are successful in the eyes of all audiences, and then there's people who are black popular, which is people, or black famous. Like, there's a lot of, like, people that are black famous that haven't, like, crossed over yet to all audiences. Mm-hmm. But what was I going to say? I was going to say that I think that, you know, part of what makes Cardi B successful is, like, some people even attribute it to, like, her ghetto-esque, like, mannerisms, her characterizations. The way she acts is why black people or white people are drawn to her, because they're like, oh my God, she's like, I've heard people say, oh, Cardi B, she's my spirit animal. Like,
but it's so crazy that people say that about Cardi B. But, like, if that was, like, on, like, a darker-skinned woman, like, they'd be like, ew, like, why is she acting like that? Yeah, she's ghetto, she's a rat, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. It doesn't make sense.
That's interesting. Well, to go back to, like, our TV discussion, do you think that the reason why so many light skins are propped up is because, you know, producers think that they are more palatable to a wider audience?
Yeah, I would think so for sure.
Really?
Yeah, of course. We see that all the time. It makes it, like, it just makes sense, because if producers weren't like that, then obviously there'd be more dark skins that'd be popular in the media. But because they think that way, because they think, you know, the lighter the lighter skin you have or the lighter you are, the more palatable you are, mm-hmm. that's better money. That's better business for them. That's better money for them mm-hmm. because they're going to get an investment and a return on what they invested on that artist.
And I'm sure even in boardrooms, a lot of these like big executives are like, oh, no, she's too dark. She really wouldn't sell overseas.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure they say stuff like that.
Yeah, that happens all the time.
I'm sure and they say sucks. Stuff like that. It's sad.
It's so sad. Just so freaking sad.
I'm just interested to know why you don't think that like black people winning is a win for everybody though.
Oh my god, just
I just want to know. Cuz I feel like people will take issue to that, cuz some people think that yes, biracial people are also one half of them is not black, but one half of them is black. So isn't that one segment of the black experience?
No, because it's different. My thing is that if we're all black, if you consider like mixed people black or whatever, or if you're someone that thinks, oh, well, why does it matter? Like the white people see us all the same. If that's the case, then why does colorism exist? Mm. Like it doesn't make sense that people say that, but colorism exists. Because if white people saw us all the same, then colorism wouldn't exist. Mm. But it does.
That's interesting.
Yeah, I think mixed people, a lot of times, you know, they grow up in black, in all black spaces, they grow up around black people and stuff, and I would say that the way they grow up is a lot similar to black people, but I don't think their experiences are the same a lot of times. There's just certain things that I can't relate to a mixed person about. I can't relate to having two different cultures in my family. I can't relate to, you know, having like a mother that's white and a father that's black. Like, that's just not my experience growing up.
Yeah.
So it doesn't make sense to group us all together. And I'm pretty sure, you know, if we actually made the difference between, you know, mixed people and black people, it would also clear up a lot of identity issues that, you know, a lot of mixed people tend to have as well.
That's interesting. But what about the people that choose one, though? Like, even though they're both, they choose one. Do you think that they should be able to make that choice even though they're both? Or is ignoring one side of them problematic?
I think ignoring one side is problematic.
Hmm.
It just, like, I just don't understand, like, what in your mind would make you think, oh, you know, I'm mixed, I'm half white, half black, but I'm only going to claim one side. But it's like, you have, like, a whole other side to you that you should get to know.
And it's usually the white, I feel like it's the white side that's never claimed.
Yeah, and I think it's just because, like people said, you know, oh, well, they're not going to see you as white or as mixed or whatever. They're just going to see you as black. Mm. And so mixed people, like, they hear that and they're like, okay, well, I might as well just identify as black. You know, black people accept me. So it makes a lot of sense why they would, but...
What about white passing people? Do you think there's people out there that are half white but never claim the black side?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure there is. I mean, I don't know how, because I can tell the difference. I don't know how you would do it.
Meghan Markle, you can tell that she is a white woman or half white woman.
Yeah, you couldn't tell that she was mixed.
No, she just had a slight tan, but she looks like a white woman to
When I first saw her, I thought she was like white, but then I saw her freckles. I was like, this is not no white woman.
What about Rashida Jones? She looks like a white woman to me.
When I first saw her too, she looked white, but then like I took like a second look at her.
Oh, whatever. Your second look was on Wikipedia googling her parents are.
No, but like mixed people who are white passing, like even though they might not look mixed when you first look at them, like if you look at their features, a lot of times like you can tell, like especially with Halsey too, like when you first look at her, like she looks white, right? Mm-hmm. But then when you actually take a look at her, like you start to see like her features and everything.
That's interesting. That's interesting because a lot of people that are half, you know, half black, they are given the pass, they are able to say the N-word. But you're saying that they should identify as biracial. So since they're identifying as biracial, does their ability to say the N-word disappear?
Why the fuck would you ask me that question?
You get the hard question. Nobody gets the easy way out. This is why we have the show.
Do I think they should say the N-word? Mm-hmm. I think that's just up to the individual. I mean... You are half black. Mm-hmm. But then again, you're half white.
Oh my god. I propose I propose they're able to say half of the N-word. And what? they can't say nig. It can only be gur.
Nig. Oh.
Oh, don't say it.
Oh my gosh, I was about to say that.
Don't say it. But yeah, that's interesting, because I wonder what people think about that. If you're not black, then should you be able to say that?
I guess as a mixed person, I guess that's really up to you. If you feel like you identify with that word, sure, go ahead. I mean, I don't necessarily know how, but I mean, it's just really up to the person if they choose to say it or not. Because not every single black person says the N-word. Mm-hmm. So it's really up to them, I guess.
I don't know. That's interesting. What do you guys think? You guys listening at home or wherever you're listening from, in your car, at work, wherever you're listening from, what is your take on this whole situation? And also, what is your take on stuff that we've talked about so far? Like, let me know your opinions, because people have opinions about stuff like this. And it's a very, like, talked about, you know, issue that people, you know, discuss all the time. But let's see. One thing that I wrote down that we had on the docket is men are the prize Twitter. What is that?
Oh my gosh. So me and Justin were on Twitter a few days ago.
We were Twitter. I don't have a Twitter. You were on Twitter.
I was on Twitter and I was looking at a couple of tweets, and I noticed that there were a couple of guys just tweeting about the same thing, and there are a ton of wolves that's just kind of in the same like area, whatever. So what Men Are the Prize Twitter is just a group of men who believe that, you know, women should be chasing after them, that everything that they do, that should be worshipped and everything, and it makes me sick to my stomach because it's disgusting.
Should a woman be worshipped? Should a woman be chased after?
Yeah, that, like, and...
Are women the prize?
Yeah, according to the patriarchy that men created, yeah, I believe so. I only say this just because, like, whenever it comes to, like, men are the prize Twitter, a lot of times, like, they sound bitter, they sound mean, they sound angry, they sound like, you know, why aren't women chasing after me? Like, I'm the important one, not you. It's just disgusting. Are they called incels?
Yeah, well, incels are, like, people who are involuntary celibate. So they try their hardest to get with women, and they get rejected, they get rejected, they get rejected. So I think their love of women then turns into hatred of them being single and hatred of women for always being rejected. I could be wrong. That's what I believe it to be.
Yeah, I think that's what they are anyway. But I know quite a few of the... Oh, not quite a few, but I know a couple of people who are like that.
Really? So you think people that are all about men are the prize? They're like incels. They're like involuntary celibate because they can't get any girls.
Yeah, they're angry at the world and they're angry at women, so they take it out on women.
Interesting. Okay, Amanda, what else did you have to say about this topic before we wrap it up, like with biraciality?
So I definitely think mixed people should identify as mixed. I don't think there's anything wrong with identifying as mixed. You know, I think you should be proud of both your black and white side or whatever you're comprised of. Mm-hmm. I think whenever mixed people do identify as black, a lot of time it does aid in black people erasure, especially dark skin erasure. And it's not anything to be rude about. I think a lot of people don't understand that, you know, for a long time, you know, mixed people were seen as black. But I think, you know, with everyone becoming more woke, I should say, these days, people are really starting to understand and, like, see the implications or see, like, what we've done in the past and, like, how it's affecting us now and what we can do in the future to change it.
Mm-hmm. Basically, what I've learned this week is that everything is not for me. You know, there's an audience for everything. Just because I don't like black AF or grownish, that doesn't mean that other people don't enjoy stuff like that. People are entitled to enjoy the things that they want to enjoy. But I think that as consumers, it's important for us to think about what we're consuming and, you know, what it means. And what's problematic about the stuff that we've accepted for a long time. Is it problematic that Kenya Barris, you know, continues to put light-skinned people in all of, you know, his television roles? You know, is there a pattern there? What is there an agenda? Is there a light-skinned agenda, so to speak? I don't know. I would say no, that he's making the art that he wants to make. But my thing is that I don't want to police anybody for making the art that they want to make. But at the same time, if you've already made an identical show, why not make something else? If you're all about the black experience, why not move beyond the light skin experience, beyond the black experience, you know? Because there's dark skin experience, there's so much other things to explore besides, you know the plight of light skin people that deserve to be told. So that's what I have to say about that. But what about awards and stuff? Whenever like this so-and-so is the first black person to ever do this, should it be instead this person is the first mixed person to do this instead of a black person? Or even calling Obama the first black president. Should it be the first mixed race president or what? Because you can't pick and choose what you want to be considered, you know, mixed and what you want to be considered black.
Yeah, that's true. And it's going to be really hard because, you know, we've grown up like, or we've done our entire lives is that we've just basically identified anyone who's just like a drop as black. So it'll be hard to move away from those, you know, first black person to do this, even though they're mixed, or, you know, first black person to do that. So, I mean, I guess they should identify or just say, you know, the first mixed person. Mm-hmm. But, like, how many people do you think will actually just, like, say that entire thing? I think a lot of people will just say black.
Well, that's what this country does. That's what we've been conditioned to do from birth. We put everybody into categories based on race. But what we're beginning to see is that it's hard to identify people, especially if you're mixed with more than two things. If you're white, if you're black, if you're Indian, if you're Asian also, what are you at that point? You're all of them, right? Yeah. So you think that's why it's even more necessary to identify people as mixed or what?
Yeah, I think so. Just so everyone actually has, like, their own identity and they're allowed to be, what's the word?
Themselves, or?
Yeah, so they can be themselves, because when you don't have or if you feel like you don't belong to a certain group, a lot of times you just tend to feel like an outsider, so... Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, that's what we're beginning to see, even with the census stuff. Like, there's people that are comprised of multiple races. So what do you categorize them as? Like, they're just a conglomerate of different races. So it's going to become harder for us to put people into boxes. And I think that's why for so long, all those racist people didn't want racists to mix, because they wanted to keep the whites with the whites, keep the blacks with the blacks, and so on and so forth. But I think that with this world, like, we're beginning to get outside of those boxes and, you know, live our full lives. And living part of your full life is loving who you love. And sometimes you love somebody of a different race and you have kids and, you know, that is their experience. And then before you know it, we're going to become so mixed that, you know, races and putting people into boxes wouldn't even matter, because at the end of the day, we all bleed red and we're all human. But Amanda, do you have anything else to add before I wrap things up?
No, I don't have anything else to add. Okay. No, I don't have anything else.
Well, with that being said, I think that's about it for this episode. This was a good one. Amanda, thank you for joining me.
Thank you, Justin, for having me. Hopefully I can go back.
Of course. But yeah, you guys, thank you for listening. Hopefully y'all learned something today. If not, I'm sorry. But I try to, you know, open up a discussion about things that people don't discuss enough. So Amanda, thank you for joining me. And I'll just say this, like, just remember, at the end of the day, there's stuff and content that's created. Not everything is for us to consume. Some things are made for certain audiences, and I think that we should be okay with not everything being for us, because I think it's a slippery slope for us to, you know, want to be seen and everything, when sometimes it doesn't make sense. Because I love diversity, I love representation, but at some point that can get in the way of storytelling, because if your cast is supposed to be portraying a certain cast, and then, you know, all these people come in and they're like, oh, there needs to be 3 short people, 2 tall people, 1 person in a wheelchair, 3 dark skins, 1 light skin, it's like, okay, like, I get that everybody wants to be seen, but sometimes, you know, stories don't call for that. And I think that sometimes it's good for us to let go, let certain stories be told, but that doesn't mean that you should stop wanting to support people from your own community. So that's what I'll say. Hopefully that made sense, but if not If not, that's okay too. But thank you guys for listening. So if you're not subscribed, make sure you're subscribed. Tell a friend to tell a friend. Share it on your story. Enjoy the rest of your week, guys. This was like a quick little episode for you guys. Thank you for listening. And y'all stay safe out there. All right, bye, guys.